blessed since you have been here, because we have certainly been walking in the presence of the Lord already. Pastor has been thankful with all the reports in the last few weeks here in the month of July, of people praying through, being blessed, being touched, the instruction from the word of the Lord, from Brother Bounds, and then from Brother Peyton, and some of our own young men and ladies ministering here, and then Brother Robinette, Wednesday night, 10, receiving the Holy Ghost, 4, God is moving at Tabernacle of Pentecost. We were doing just a little thinking, and over the last decade or so, well, since Elizabeth and I have been here at West Palm, we were crunching some numbers, and I had actually thought of one or two more. But out of this church has already gone 14 that are full-time in the ministry. That means they are either pastors, married to a pastor, they are full-time evangelists, or they are missionaries. Will you give the Lord praise for what he is doing amongst our people? You can be seated. I was speaking to a pastor a couple of days ago in Louisiana. We were having lunch there, and they're having a 100-year reunion at Westlake Louisiana Church. That's the church that I received not the Holy Ghost in, but I was baptized in that church and then raised the few years that I had was there under Brother Creel and their brother Allen's ministry. And they're going to be celebrating 100 years in October. And, of course, Elizabeth and I are going to do our best to be there with that. But we were speaking to the pastor, the current pastor of that church, and I was just bragging on my young people to him. Everywhere I go, I brag on our youth group to men and women of God. I'm proud of them. They are hungry for God. Many of them that are currently sitting on the pews, they feel their call into the ministry in some form or fashion. We have taught them ministry does not mean pulpit. In fact, this is an incredibly small portion of what ministry is really all about. Ministry is touching people, working for God, and reaching lost souls, and going out and ministering in the kingdom of the Lord. Amen? Just proud of them, and I know that they are going to just continue to do incredible. We put it up on the screen a few minutes ago. We prayed about it, but I just thought it was so incredibly unique that yesterday marked 60 years that our government voted to stamp on our money and to put it in our Constitution and place it up on our over the head of our government there in entrances there in Washington, D.C., that in God we trust. And we need to be thankful that we are in a country that still shouts that out, that in God we trust. And if our country loses it, we will not. We will always trust in God. Always trust in God. So pray for our government. Pray for those in the Senate, those in the House of Representatives, our judges, our Supreme Court, our armed forces, our officers, our fire, emergency, first responders. Please continue to lift them up in prayer. Our governors of our states, that God will deal with their hearts to do what is right in his sight and to make decisions based on the word of God and not the persuasions of men or the wants and the lust and the desires of men, but based on the word of God. It's what our Constitution was based on. It's the reason why we live in a great country, because we serve a great God. Amen. I want to read to us today. You can remain seated. I want to read to us today from the book of Matthew, chapter 28 and verse number 18. Pastor is going to try to take it easy. I am 1,000% better. As far as I'm concerned, I'm completely 100% healthy. But it has been a couple of weeks since I have preached. And so I do not want to blow my vocal cords out in about 3 minutes here today. So let me have a long runway. Will you do that? I was telling somebody that before church, and they just kind of shook their head. They said, Pastor, you'll never do it. You're a helicopter. You're just going to kind of go straight up. I said, well, we're going to try. We're going to try our best to do this. Lord laid this upon my heart. I feel like God has come to encourage someone. Tell your neighbor, be encouraged. Tell somebody next to you, be encouraged. The Lord wants us to be encouraged. We have precious saints of God in this building here today that are struggling and going through many, many things. And we are all in different levels of our experience with Christ and different phases of our trials and tribulations and difficulties of life. That's the reason why some are standing up and giving testimonies about how God has delivered them, while others are just entering into maybe an incredible, difficult time of their life. But I want to tell you, whether you're the one shouting from the rooftop because God has brought you through, or whether you're the one that is just entering in, God is with you, and He will never leave you, and He will never forsake you. No matter what phase of your trial, no matter what difficulty of life you may be facing, I am here to tell you there is an almighty God named Jesus Christ that is standing beside you. Somebody shout out, Jesus loves me. Come on, shout it out, Jesus loves me. Don't let that devil lie to you. Shout it out, Jesus loves me. Shout it again, Jesus loves me. Shout it one more time, Jesus loves me. Clap your hands to the Lord and give God praise. Now I want you to stay with me. I'm just going to be in the pulpit for a few minutes here today, and I need some participation. Tell your neighbor, you need to participate. Tell somebody else, you need to be involved. Somebody say, always and everywhere. Tell somebody next to you, God is always with you. And God is everywhere. Shout, always and everywhere. Matthew 28 and 18, the word of the Lord says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And thank God for revelation and for the Word of God that lets us know that that name is Matthew 28 and 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And notice the words, the last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples, or at that time about 120 that had gathered with them. The last words he spoke to them, which personifies through the ages of the church. And lo, I am with you. How long? Shout it. Shout it, even unto the end of the world. Shout always and everywhere. Say, God is with me always and everywhere. Clap your hands to the Lord and give God praise. David wrote a beautiful psalm that you and I love to quote. It has brought comfort to every child of God. that has walked with the Lord for any amount of time. We have quoted this psalm. We have taught it to our children. It has become the foundation of our walk with God in many ways. David says in Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Now notice what David says. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." But look at verse number 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art..." Somebody shout always. Shout everywhere. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Wait a minute, David. You just told me that God maketh you to lie down in green pastures, that he leadeth you beside the still waters, that he restores your soul. So tell me, David, why are you in a valley? If God leads you beside the still waters, if he calls you to lay down in the green pastures, I'll tell you why. Because David understands. David's got a revelation. In the valley of the shadow of death, there will be green pastures. In the valley of the shadow of death, there will be still waters. And you know why? Because God is with me and always and everywhere. I'm here to tell every one of us here today, if we can get a hold of this revelation, that when God is with us in our great trouble, there is peace. When God is with us in our great fear, there is comfort. God, if we can get a hold of it, somebody shout always. Shout everywhere. No wonder he said in verse number 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Shout always and everywhere. "Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." I wonder where David learned all this. I'll tell you where he learned it. The Bible says he was on the backside of a sheep field tending God's sheep, and a bear came, and the anointing of God enabled him to kill a bear. A lion came, and the anointing of God enabled him to kill a lion. What are you saying, David? I'm saying that in my peaceful fields with sheep, trouble's gonna come, but it's okay because God is, and God is always with me, and God is everywhere. That's why he was able to say to King Saul, "Don't let nobody fear because of this guy called Goliath, because I'm going to march out there. And just like God delivered the lion and the bear, God's going to deliver that giant." Why? Because David had a revelation. If I'm on a sheep field, God is with me. If I'm in a valley with a giant, God is. I love what he said. "I come to you in the name of the Lord." No matter where I go, if I'm on the mountaintop, God is with me. If I'm in the valley low, God is with me. If I'm healthy, God is with me. If I'm sick, God is with me. Why? Because God is with me. And I hope we can get a hold of it. I hope we can get it in our hearts. Because
Because I'm telling you, if you can get a hold of this little tiny thought that God has come to encourage somebody with, no matter what the doctor says, you're going to say to yourself, God is with me always and everywhere.
It'll bring you strength. God said, David, I am with you in the peaceful shepherd fields, and I am with you in the valley of the shadows of death. I am with you feeding the sheep on the backside, and I am with you in the valley with a giant. No wonder David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Somebody shout it, always and everywhere. Don't have time to read all of these scriptures. Genesis 39 and 1, what a beautiful story about Joseph. God gives him the dream. Your father, your mother, your sons, your brothers are going to bow down before you, Joseph. The Bible says Joseph was brought down. We know the story. Can't have time to go through it all. His brothers became jealous. They cast him into a pit. Along came a band of slave traders, and they sold Joseph into slavery. These slave traders brought him to Egypt. Genesis 39 and 1 says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. But look at verse number 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. Why? Because God is with me. You see, God was with you, Joseph, when you had the dream at home in the safety of your father's camp. God was with you when he showed you the power and the triumph and the authority that was going to come into your life. God was with you when your dad gave you the coat of many colors. God was with you when favor was upon your life. But I'm here to tell you, Joseph, God is with you. Because when they sold you into Egypt and you were bought as a slave, God took out the time to say, and God was with Joseph. I've come to tell somebody today, the devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. He's trying to convince you that God has forsaken you, that God has left you. But I've come to tell you, God is with you. Always and everywhere.
Oh, it's not long. Joseph, the hand of the Lord is on him. God lifts him up in the eyes of Potiphar. He rules the house. We know the story. Genesis 39 and 20 and 21. And Joseph's master, his wife, lied on him. Joseph fled that old adulterous temptation that had come into his life. He was going to be honorable. He said, I cannot sin against my God. I cannot sin against my master. He's given me rule over everything, but he's not given me rule over you. And so the word says that Joseph fled. Potiphar's wife lied upon him, and Joseph's master Potiphar took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. Oh, verse 21, come out. Read that first part.
Y'all are so good. Read the first part of that verse on the screen.
But the Lord was with Joseph. What are you saying, Brother Kyle? What are you saying, Pastor? I'm telling you and me, stop letting the devil torment you just because things go south. Because God's with you in the north. God is with you in the south. God is with you in the east. God is with you in the west. Because God is with us. I wish somebody would clap like they believe it. Clap like you believe it. I love the little miracles that come to our life in the middle of our greatest trials. God doesn't snatch you down and pull you out. No, he just cracks the door a little bit and says, "Peekaboo, how you doing in there?" And he'll do a little something for you. You know what God's telling you? He's telling you, "I've never left you. I've never forsaken you. I know just where you're at. I don't care what the doctors tell you. It doesn't matter what your bank book says. It doesn't matter what that banker says. I'm here to tell you." And you'll see God step in your life, and he'll take you out of the slavery that you were put in bondage, and he'll make you the ruler of that area. But then all of a sudden, everything will go wrong again. But that's all right, hold on. God will show up again, Joseph. He'll make you ruler over your prison. And just when you think everybody has forgotten you, God will lift you up out of that prison, and he will make you ruler over all of the land of Egypt in your life, because he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Hold on to the dream. Hold on to the promise. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep going. Come on, put those hands together for God. God's come to tell you, he's with you, he's with you, he's with you, he's with you. Ooh, one more time, worship the Lord for a moment. Tell your neighbor always. Tell him everywhere. Tell somebody else always. Tell him everywhere. Do you believe it? Can you receive it? Will you let it come into your heart? That in the middle of your darkness, God is there. In the middle of your confusion, God is there. In the middle of your fear, God is there. It's 13 and 21, just a couple of more minutes. And then we're going to come down. And we're going to worship in the presence of the Lord. And we're going to receive this revelation into our lives. And the devil's going to lose grip on some of you. He's had a grip of fear and doubt and intimidation upon you. But he's going to lose it today. Because you're going to be like old Job. Naked came I into this world. Naked will I leave. Yet I will worship him. Yet I will praise him. No matter what I lose, the Lord giveth. And the Lord taketh away. But God is with me. Ooh, you'll look at that devil and say, "You talk like a foolish devil." Oh, they're telling me I look like a... I don't know what's wrong. This is a $100 shirt. Oh, I'm sorry. The decimal was in the wrong place. I'm in a $10 shirt. I can't look bad while I'm preaching. You can't receive it. Thanks, guys. Keep me informed. then we wouldn't have to worry about it. Exodus chapter 13, verse number 21. And the Lord, are you ready? Yeah, where are they? They're in the wilderness. They are in the wilderness. And they are going to be there for 40 years. I hope the Lord has some kind of dividing factor on that concerning this building. They were there for 40 years. But Exodus says, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud and to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of the fire by night from before the people. The last day that they spent in their wilderness, the word of the Lord tells us, the cloud was removed and the fire appeared no more. But as long as every step they took was in that old wilderness, a cloud by day and a fire by night. Why? Because the Lord is with us. It didn't matter what little city they came upon. It didn't matter who came against them. It didn't matter how hard it became, how difficult it was. The Lord was with them. When they ran out of water, he became a rock. When they ran out of food, he became the manna. I'm here to tell you, in your darkest hour, in your most difficult time, there will never be a moment that God doesn't provide for you, that God doesn't take care of you, that God doesn't walk with you by day and by night. Now, most of the time, they slept at night. So the fire could have even become a nuisance. I wish somebody put that light out. I was trying to go to bed, you know. An old bright thing up. What's the matter with God? I wish somebody put that light out. But then every once in a while, in the middle of the night, when everybody's asleep, I wish Sister Jackson was here. I have a blow horn. In the middle of the night. That sound like a horn? He didn't bring his sax out. Rebellion. Yeah. Middle of the night, they hear that horn blow. What? Stir out of their beds. Wrap up their air-inflated, nice, spring-loaded mattresses and feather-stuffed, and put them, tore down the tent. Moses, it's in the middle of the night. Why is God moving us? I don't know, but don't worry, because whether God moves us in the day or whether God moves us at night, there's a cloud by day and a fire by night. God's come to encourage you. Stop worrying about the next step. Stop worrying about the next direction. God's got it all under control. He'll close doors he don't want open. He'll open doors he wants you to walk through. God is with you. Clap your hands to the Lord. He's a mighty God. Tell your neighbor, God's with us. I like what he said to Joshua. In Joshua 1 and 5. He said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Watch this. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Are you hearing this? I will not fail thee. That's not man making an idle promise to God. That's God making an eternal promise to man. Nor forsake thee. Always, everywhere. As I was with Moses. Was he with Moses?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my Lord. You see, it was the finger of God that touched the water, that turned the water into blood. It wasn't that old staff. It was the power of God flowing through it. The hand of God came across the sands of the seashore, and the sands turned into lice. He opened his mouth and blew, and locusts flew in and devoured everything. He took his hand and he covered the sun, and gross darkness was upon the earth for 3 days. That was God with Moses. He was the manna, as I said, and the rock that the water came out of. Everywhere, always, and everywhere. The Hebrew children, I've got to hurry here. The Hebrew children, Daniel tells us, bound, cast into the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar the king stands up and he says to his counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O Lord. And he answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they had no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. You know why? Because I'll be with you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they make you rulers over the provinces of the land. I'll be with you when they clothe you in royalty, when they deck your neck with chains of gold, when they give you honor and praise. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I want you to know something. When they cast you into the fire of the furnace, I want you to know I'm going to be there as well. And if we can get a hold of this revelation, Sister Rosemary will be like David. And we'll say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I want you to know the Lord already told me there'd be green pastures in there. And there'd be still waters, and there would be righteousness, because he leadeth me in the paths of his righteousness, and he leadeth me to like he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. So even though it's in a valley, I'm here to tell you, there's going to be green pastures there, there's going to be still waters there, and there's going to be righteousness there. And can I tell you this? And I can't think of any pastures that are greener, or any waters that are stiller, or anything more righteous than to be thrown into a fiery furnace, bound up, expecting to sizzle like bacon, to see the ropes burn off of me and not feel any pain on my body. You talk about peace. I wish I could sing. I can't even hardly talk. How's that go? Peace in the valley for me. This I know. The words aren't right. Doesn't matter. I'm making them up as I go. peace in the valley for me. This I know, for when the fire burned, the ropes melted away. No smoke on my clothes. Oh, King, would you open the door? Because here we go. Somebody shout it. Shout it. Shout it. Here's the revelation. You have been cast into the fire. And the devil has caused you to focus on the fire instead of the ropes that are burning away from your bondage. Instead of focusing in on the fact that not one thread on my clothing is being singed. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying in the middle of your darkest hour, your darkest news, your worst incident, if you will step back and examine yourself, you will realize no harm has come to you. The Bible says they were walking around loose and unbound in the fire. I don't think they were just doing this. I think they were probably doing something like this. Because they realized that God is. Clap your hands to the Lord. Give God some praise. I'm closing. We know Daniel's story. Cast in the lion's den. You got to realize Daniel wasn't some little old guy. Daniel was one of the top three leaders of all of the providences in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. 120 provinces, and Daniel's was one of the top three leaders. And the other jealous leaders, they knew the only way they could get him was through his God. That's a powerful testimony. So they arranged the circumstances. You pray to any other god but Nebo, you're gonna be fed to the lions. See, Daniel had already gotten used to walking to that window. The Bible says the window already being opened. He didn't have to open it. When the creed went out, he didn't shut that window in case somebody might suspect he's a Christian. He let that window wide open. And those people knew right where to look. He was a man of consistency and habit when it came to God. They knew right where to look. They weren't in his house. They were out somewhere else. And they were staring in that window because they knew it wouldn't be long. They could probably set the time on the sundial. They knew right where the shadow across the sundial would be at noon. Daniel would put his face in that window, turn east and lift his hands and begin to pray to his God. You see, Daniel was used to the fact that God is always and everywhere. And when they took him and they cast him in that old fire, that lion's den, the king said, I hope your God is able to deliver you. And old Dan said, oh, king, long live the king. It's going to be all right, king, baby. It's going to be okay. King comes back the next day. We know the story. Knocks on, yells, Daniel. Has your God been able to deliver you? And Daniel said, well, actually, me and God haven't moved from this spot. We've been talking. But he did send one of his angels to shut the lions' mouths so that they could not devour me. Long live the king. Because Daniel, let's stand. Daniel understood that God is. Every mind on the Lord, every eye closed for a moment. I feel this so heavy in the Holy Ghost. God has come to encourage someone today with this little message. Paul put it this way. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. You know what? Say that. When I read this, I want you to say that always and everywhere. We are troubled on every side, but not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, because God. Cast down, but not destroyed, because God. He said, Isaiah said, fear thou not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. When thou goest through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And Paul launches off of that and says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? For I am persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present or yet to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Somebody shout it. Clap your hands to the Lord. Give God praise. The very last verse in the Bible. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Every mind on God. Listen. Some of your stories, I know. Some I don't. Some of you are facing things that you have said nothing to anyone at all. They have no clue. They just don't know. Some things you just don't share. The pain is so deep. The hurt is incomprehensible. You dare not open your mouth to even share it, lest you lose control. And in this desperation, and in this trial of affliction, in this time of persecution, a thing called fear that's so built into our flesh, doubt, has a way of creeping up. Satan will try to arrange things for you to hear things and see things, and people say things to you that will maximize that fear and doubt, anger, pain, and hurt. To the point that sometimes you wonder, is God really listening? Does he really hear? And so the Lord has come to tell you today that I will always be with you. No matter where you go, no matter what you face, no matter where you find yourself, I will be with you always and everywhere. I will comfort you when you need comfort. I will strengthen you when you are weak. I will pick you up when you fall down. I will hold you when you are trembling and you feel all alone. I will hold you tight, for I am always and I am everywhere in your life. And when it seems like you cannot take another step, I will be the cloud by day, and I will be the fire by night. And I will put my shoulder under yours, and I will lift you. For I will not put more on you than you can bear. I will provide a way out. I will enable you to endure. Because when we get through this thing, Oh, yes. When we get through it, oh, the blessings of the Lord, the glory of God, the name of Jesus will be exalted. When we get through it, David the giant will be dead. When we get through it, Joshua, all the land of Israel will be conquered. When we get through it, Daniel, all of Babylon will kneel and worship me as their God. When we get through it, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, every idol will be torn down, and the only God that will be worshipped will be the name of Jehovah. When we get through it, when we get through it, when we make it to the other side, when we cross over the Red Sea, all of the army of Egypt will be destroyed. I'm here to tell you, he's always with you. He's everywhere. He's in every trial, every trouble, every pain, every hurt, every doubt, every fear, every confusion. He's there. He's there. He's there. Every financial trouble, every marriage problem, every situation with your children. Always. Everywhere. Always. Everywhere. Some of you have come here saying, well, but I did this and I did that and I don't think God will forgive me. Always. Everywhere. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm telling you that if you lift your hands and come back to him, if you make your way down to this altar and say, oh God, I need you, I'm here to tell you, he's going to be there for you. He's going to be there for you. If you've been struggling with something, you've been battling, you've been going through something, some things you haven't even told anyone, but it's difficult, it's hard, the Lord wants to strengthen you today. Let's make our way to this altar. Let's bring it to him. Instead of looking at our fire, God is going to show us the ropes. Instead of staring at the lions that are hungry, we're going to see the angel that's going to shut their mouths. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. God's come to encourage you today. He's come to encourage this church as a whole. I don't know when the answer's coming. But I know it's coming. And if you and I will just keep praising Him and loving Him and reaching for the lost, seeing all the lives that are being changed, marriages put together, children coming to God, getting off of drugs, totally changing their path. Many of them would have ended up in prison, possibly killed at a young age, and now they're serving God, going to Bible school, serving God, teaching Bible study, serving God, being a servant to the work of God, teaching Sunday school, being a part of the youth, being a part of Bible quizzing. The list goes on and on and on. All of our departments across the, oh my Lord. Oh, my Lord. Holy Ghost, I need you to come into this building right now. Every mind on the Lord. I'm telling you, there's going to come a supernatural power to you right now, brother, sister. There's going to come a supernatural power to you right now. The Lord sees and knows where you're at. He has ministered this message for you. And if you'll just show a little bit of response towards Him, whether it's the lifting of the hands or the calling on Him with your lips, whatever it is, God sees where you are. He has come to encourage each and every one of us here today. We all live in our own set of circumstances. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Fear tries to grip our heart, but God's come to tell you, I'm with you. Doubts try to get in your heart, your spirit, but God's come to tell you, I'm with you. We look at the circumstances, it doesn't seem like it's possible, but the Lord has come to remind you all things are possible to him that can't believe. Nothing is impossible to God. He can do all things. There's nothing he cannot do, nothing he will not do. Come on, God is working where you cannot see. God is busy doing things, but you can't see it. But God is working. God is working. God is working. He's come to encourage us today. He's come to lift us up today, that He is always and He is everywhere. He is always and He is everywhere. God is always with us and He is everywhere with us. Oh, hallelujah. Will you reach out to Him right now in the middle of your trouble? In the middle of your situation, will you reach out to Him?